Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I ask for your special blessing on each and every one. As I do every Sunday, Father, I pray that you, dear Holy Spirit, will speak to hearts. And I know, Father, that part of that is contingent upon our hearts and ears and eyes to be open spiritually to you. And I pray that we receive what you have for us to receive through the message today. And I pray it will deepen our faith, encourage our faith, and increase our joy, and that we will praise you and love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message today is The Son's Replacement. So you can theorize what the message is. It's pretty simple, I think. And it's that time of year when, you know, Kalinga is one of those communities where, yay, spring is here, and 2 weeks later, summer hits. Right? There's not really the 3 month span of spring in Kalinga. It's 2 weeks, feels like it, most of the time. Until that really hot weather, which is almost on us, right, is here, we do enjoy the beautiful, and this year in particular with all the rain, the beautiful spring flowers and the green mountains. And I was hoping we would be able to drive 198 over the coast just to see the beautiful flowers and the scenery and all that over there. But as you know, the road is not open. I praise God for the spring weather here in Kalinga. Some of you, I'm not one of them, but some of you enjoy the heat and the warmth and almost like to bask in the sun. You know, when Kathy and I were first married, she'd get out on the lawn chair in the backyard and just take it in and flip over like, you know, pancake in a frying pan and soak it in and back and forth and eating it up. And we did that on the beach once in Florida and we're laying there and she's just, oh, it feels so good. And I stood up and my skin cracked because I was red as a lobster. And so some really enjoy the heat and some don't. And as you know, I'm not one of them that does. But we do soak in the sun and the rays of light that come from it. We're blessed because of the life that the sun gives us, thinking about our natural sun. Without sun, we have no life, right? Not at all. The sun is enormous. It's ever present in our lives. And we may not see it always, we never see it in its fullness, do we? I mean, really, in the content of what the sun is, how enormous it is, the heat that it generates, all the different things that it does, we're not on top of it in that respect. We see its effects, we see it in the sky, that type of thing. We might see the sun setting over the mountains, or a sun rising over the mountains. It might be obscured by anything of nature in the time of day or the topography of the earth that we live on. But it doesn't change the fact that the sun is still there in its intensity and its propensity and its enormity, right? The sun is there and very powerful and is absolutely needed for us. God has placed the sun as an integral part of creation, and we know that to be true. The sun is like many natural things in our life, and it points us to God. You know, when you think about the natural things in life, when we see the sun, how many of you, when you see the sun, have ever reflected, pun was convenient, reflected, that represents the Son of God. You know, creation points to God. And so when you think of the sun or you see the sun, think about the sun. Easter sunrise. We see the sun rising. We think about Christ rising. Now, are we thinking about the morning rising and the morning coming, the dawning of the morning? Or are we thinking also about the fact that the sun rose and we see the correlation of the physical sun rising and that of the Son of God, Jesus, rising from the dead? And so we can always look at the sun as a picture that God created for us to look on the sun with spiritual eyes, thinking on him, reflecting on him. God wants us to look at his creation and see him, right? Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." It's an interesting thing to me because you would think not everybody is thinking about the elements of nature to the degree that it would direct their hearts and eyes to God, to the degree that God says creation itself is a testimony of me, and because of that you have no excuse not to know who I am. That's pretty strong, pretty strong. But if you think about nature and you think about the course of nature from its finer details in science and how things work, and you see all the complexity of all of it, even if we don't know the science and the cells and all that type of stuff, just how nature interacts with each other, it shows the order of God, which shows the majesty and the hand and the power of God that should direct men's hearts toward God. And it's up to us, every human being, to respond to that prompting of the Holy Spirit, directing hearts to Him. And what I'm trying to say here is this: you and I as believers at one point were not believers. And the Holy Spirit was touching and knocking on the door of our heart. But you and I have free will to choose to respond to the knocking of the Lord on our heart. And so we can either open our heart and our lives and receive Him and live for Him, or we choose to block Him out. And the more we block Him out, the more seared our conscience is about God. And even in our own Christian walk, we can push God away enough to sear our conscience, even though He's still in our heart. So what I'm trying to say is that creation, like God said, is a testimony of Him. And so we're looking at the Son being a testimony of Jesus, the Son of God. The Son is a brilliant display of God in creation. Like the Son, God is the center around which all revolves. He is the source of life and all warmth and all beauty. And we see a correlation there in our relationship with God, don't we? He is life, and He is beauty, and He is the spiritual warmth in our heart. And so we see that picture brought to life in the promises of our future life with God. Let me not say that too quickly. We see this picture brought to life in the promises of our future life with God. If you know a little bit about eschatology and the future, about light, this reflects a picture of what life with God is going to be in eternity. But it also reflects upon what life should be right here and now. And in fact, even what life is right now, not just from a natural perspective of our natural son, but of that which points to Christ. And I'll explain that a little bit more. So let's read in Revelation 21, verses 22-25. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Now I want to stop right there for just a moment. We know in creation, in Genesis, God created the sun for the day and the moon and the stars for a nightlight, right? So God gave us a natural nightlight and a daylight for us to be able to see. And that is no longer the need anymore in the new heavens and the new earth that God promises will take place. But I want to think about it also, before I read the rest of those two verses, is that we don't realize the magnitude of the light of Christ. Just like we don't realize the magnitude of the light of the natural sun, right? And so we might have an idea, and scientists may gain an idea, but even still, we're not going and landing on the sun. We don't know, and like, we couldn't land on the sun. So we don't even realize the power and the might of the natural sun, and that reflects on the power and the light of Jesus, who is the Son of God. It's not necessarily a play on words. It's a genuine reflection that we need to look at. And so the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. So that's going to be a wild thing, isn't it? You're going to be in heaven, a new heaven and a new earth, and there's no sun above the sky, no setting and rising of the sun, no nighttime. There'll be no nighttime at all. And the very light of God, Jesus, the Son of God, is going to illuminate all of it. And we're going to live within that light. And that is a wonderful promise and a reality. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. Interesting. Even in that new heaven and earth, the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. Interesting. A government structure, we see a picture of a little bit of eternity forward, reflected in the scriptures here in the book of Revelation. So as wonderful as our Son is, the Son has an even better replacement in our life, Jesus the Lamb. Amen? Jesus, the light of the world, right? Jesus, the one who illuminates the new heavens and the new earth, right? Jesus is the Son of God who lives in our hearts. We praise God. It's so much better than the natural Son. Yet, obviously, we need the natural Son, but we're looking at the spiritual focus, the natural pointing to the spiritual, as God told us creation would do if we're willing to listen. So, the Lamb is our lamp, now and forevermore. His glory lights our way and stops all darkness. And read that again. The Lamb is our lamp. Psalms tells us he's the lamp, the light that lights our path, right? Now and forevermore, he's there to guide us. His glory lights our way and stops all darkness. We are called to walk in his light. The interesting thing here that I was thinking about reflecting on this message is that we are called the children of light. We are called to walk in light. And oftentimes we leave it at that, but I think God was giving me a little bit more of an insight to that. That in essence, and follow me on this, in essence, because Jesus lives in us and he is the light, scripture says Jesus is the light of the world, right? That his light lives in us and we're children of light. We're called to walk in light. That if you can just picture the world that we live in as being a world of darkness and every believer being a unit of light that comes from eternity. We're not walking in natural light, are we? When we walk, we're children of light. To walk in the light is to walk a spiritual walk with God. To walk in step with the Holy Spirit. To walk in this light, to dispel the things that cast darkness on our lives. Right? That we're to expel that as we yield ourselves to God. We push back on the things that are not of God, which is the darkness. But having said that, let me reiterate. We're not just the children of light, and we're not called to walk only in the light, but the very light that we have is not of this world, it's Jesus, it comes from eternity, right? And we walk in it. So you look at the world as a globe and you see it in its darkness, and I picture in my mind every little Christian on the face of the earth as these sparks of light from heaven all over the earth, reflecting him in his character, because we're bearing not the natural light, but a holy light of Jesus. Is that not cool? I hope you got my picture. I hope you got it. Because we have the wonderful privilege of not just being the children of light, not just the privilege of being able to walk in this light by his power, but actually to experience the light that's eternal now while we're here on earth before eternity. Isn't that cool? We're privileged. We are walking in a heavenly, holy light that's not of this world, but of eternity, right now, as his children. The sad thing is we've been given this light, who's Jesus, and if we choose not to walk in his light, choose not to be his light, what a travesty, what a waste of a tremendous gift that God has given us to bear his light. Isn't that not true? We are called to bear his light because it's not from this world. And we have that great honor and privilege to do that. So, as wonderful as our Son is, the Son has an even better replacement in our life, Jesus the Lamb. And the Lamb is our lamp. Now and forevermore, his glory lights our way and stops all darkness. That's the key. You and I are to stop the darkness that tries to intrude our lives. It's a spiritual battle, but we already have victory in Christ to bear his light. It's by him, not by us, that we walk in his light. Many of us put on our sunglasses to shield our eyes from the bright light of the sun. Some people have real sensitive eyes to the sun. I don't. No more will we need sunglasses in that bright city of gold. But I imagine if we did have sunglasses, they were gold framed. And no longer will shadows be cast by our current sun or cast by the evil that exists in our own current world. And that's why Jesus came. Look at John 12:46. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Now look at Jesus. We can relate to Jesus being the light that came into the world. But again, you and I are in Jesus. He is in us. We're the children of light, and we are to walk in his light, carrying a light that's out of this world to honor him. Praise God for that. Jesus came as a light to us now to end darkness in our own life, in our world, and, let's say, and our world now. The world that we live in now, we can't expel all the darkness, right? But we can expel darkness as we see the lies of darkness confront us, right? As we see things being taught to us, being imposed upon us, being criticized that we're not yielding to, we're not on the team of the world, as we see these values that are not from God being imposed on us, we are called to bear the light of truth to expel that darkness. The more we are quiet, the more we are despondent, the more we are happy of just being the people of God that just mind our own business, the less effective we are to bear his light. And the world needs to see the light of Jesus. And it comes by you and I walking in his light and letting God shine. And we shine because we bear the truth of God's word and the reality of Jesus in our life and our own personal testimony. In 1 John 1:5, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Scripture tells us, "Be ye holy, for the Lord your God is holy." You ever think about that? Is that just a wishful thought? Is that an imperative command? It's an imperative command from God. And yet it's an oxymoron that's spiritual, because you say, how can I be holy in this world? Because holy implies that we're better than other people, but we're not of ourselves at all. But we are called to pursue the holiness of God in our lives. And that's what the intent is, to pursue the right ways of God, that we might be a holy people that are separate unto God, set apart for God. In other words, sanctified, set apart for God to be his light in a world of darkness. And the more complacent we are, the less the world sees the brightness of God in our lives, touching the world around us. And so it's very important that we bear his light. If we see darkness in our lives or in this world, know that it is not from God, because there is no darkness in God. Now, I think I shared this testimony, and if I did, bear with me. But if I didn't, because you're going to hear testimonies that I repeat all the time. But when I was at the movies and went to the movies to go see Mario Brothers, by the way, it's a good movie. It's clean. It was entertaining. And as an adult, I didn't think I would enjoy it, but I did. And but the pre-commercials, there's a commercial that was a pre-commercial. Do you remember this testimony? Yes. But you were there. Good. So the pre-commercial had this, like a 14 or 15-year-old boy, and he's on the bed, and he's brushing his peach fuzz mustache and all that stuff. And the next thing you see is him dancing around in a yellow leather skirt and all feminized. And then he goes back, and he's relaxed. And so it was pushing that agenda of transgenderism, which is blown out of proportion in the world that we live in, right? And so afterwards, I made a decision. It's not a pat on my back, but I'm challenging myself as I'm challenging you to bear the light. If you don't push back, we're not presenting the light. If we don't push back, darkness swells in. And so I went to the manager, who's bigger than me, and I shared with him about that, and he asked me which commercial it was for, promo. I said, I don't know, I was too blown away by what I was seeing. And he said he would, you know, who knows if he did or not, he'd review the footage and look for that. And then he says, it all comes down from headquarters, but I'll send an email about your concern. But here's the thing. He reached out and shook my hand real strong, and he said, thank you. You see, we need to stand. You don't have to be rude idiots, but we need to stand in love, bearing the light of Christ. Because that's what God has commissioned us to do. And so, if we see darkness in our lives or in this world, know that it is not from God, because there is no darkness in God. And I got ahead of myself, I think. Did I get ahead of myself? 1 John 1:5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We are to pursue as our goal to not allow darkness to intrude our lives, and that we present ourselves as the light that represents Jesus in the world, not with arrogance, not with an attitude of being above others, but humbly as God's children, as God's servants who've been saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And lift up the name of Jesus and the truth of his word. Don't blame God or let others blame God when darkness happens. We need to remember, evil is in this world and humans with sinful natures. We live in a world of wickedness. We live in a world of sinful nature. But God has not given us a sinful nature. I mean, we have a sinful nature that we contend with, but we have the holy nature of God that lives in us. We have to believe that. Because the holiness that lives of God that is in us is Jesus, the Son of God. Amen? We have that already. We just need to tap into Jesus more and allow him to live more through us as we push back on darkness in our own walk, and that we stand bold as light in the world. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. I could probably say to a crowd of Christians, how many of you are walking with Jesus? I might see every hand up, but you know what? Some people fool themselves. Some people know they're not walking with Jesus, but they don't want anybody else to know. News for you, if people are watching you as professing your faith in Jesus and you're not walking with Jesus, people know you're not walking with Jesus. The key to eliminating darkness from our own personal life is found in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We're kidding ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. We may think that's the ideal, what we want, but if we know we're not, we're lying to ourselves and to others. But the blessing to walking in his light is found in verse 7. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. A good barometer. How well are we getting along with one another? Will dictate how well we're walking in the light. Even if the other opponent would say, I say that loosely, but we feel that way sometimes. Wherever they're at, so long as we make sure we're right with God, that's what's important. And we do our best to keep peace with men as much as possible. That's what Scripture says. We do it because we walk in the light. We must practice God's truth and walk in his light. Right? When we walk in God's light, we will have unity with one another. I mean, that's a health barometer, a spiritual health barometer to our, not only our personal life, but our church family life. how well we get along with one another reflects of how well we're walking in the light. Oh yeah, it's easy to say, you're not walking in the light. God says, check yourself out first and get that plank out of your eye first before you start thinking you're high and mighty and get the plank out of someone else's eye. Make sure we're right with God. And then we'll have a right attitude on how to deal with issues, and it'll show in our relationship. If we experience jealousies, fights, and disunity amongst fellow church members and other Christians in the community, then we need to ask ourselves if we are walking in His light by obeying His truth. You know something else we can do besides saying, making sure that we're walking with God, that we don't have the wrong attitude, that we're right with God instead, is that we can say, God, help me to see the person through Your eyes, and help me to love the person through Your love. You get that? Be right with God and say, God, help me to see that person as You see them, and help me to love them as You love them. And be receptive to that. When we have problems with other Christians, we must start by examining our walk in God's light first. We are children of light, called to be light, to walk in light, to reflect His light, but sometimes we need to make sure that the light that we have clearly reveals who we are in our walk with Him, and then we adjust ourselves accordingly. Is there any shadow of darkness in our life that we need to confess and shine light on it? If a problem in a relationship is due to the action of the other person, then we need to not just harbor bad feelings or gossip to others about the situation. That's the wrong thing to do. It's the tendency. Man, let me unload this one on you. Unload it before God. And then ask God for wisdom to know how to deal with the issue. First with your own heart. God doesn't want us to gossip and harbor bad feelings about others. That's not what He wants us to do. Jesus would honestly and lovingly communicate the truth to another person. Do you believe that? But wait a minute. He said, you whitewashed tombstone snakes. Did He ever do it out of no love, but out of hatred? No. He was simply trying to reveal to them, this is who you are, and you don't see it. And I want you to see the truth. That was out of love. We need to help dispel darkness in Christians' lives as God leads us with His truth and light in a spirit of gentleness. In our relationships, we may see something that we're burdened about for another brother or sister in Christ, and we need to pray and say, God, give us the understanding, the wisdom that we need to be able to communicate that concern out of love to maybe help them to redirect their lives to be right with God, never with arrogance. Matthew 5:14-16 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God expects us to do the good works that He has laid out before us to accomplish as we follow Him, that people will see God in us and that He'll be glorified. Many of us are disgusted, of course, with the darkness that we're seeing in this world, and we want to see it end. That's why it's important that we bear His light brightly, like the sun sheds its light on our planet. And as I said earlier, we can no longer stand quietly, and we can't just be praying for darkness to be dispelled. Prayer is powerful, but sometimes it's a lazy way out. God calls us to stand, right? And when He calls us to stand, we need to stand in His strength, because it is a spiritual warfare. We must walk in the light openly as a bright city on a hill. We must not be afraid to share our faith and God's truth with those who we come in contact with. We cannot afford to be worried about what they think about us. That's often the hindering factor. Easy said, not easy done. We cannot be silent while those influenced by darkness make decisions in this world. We wouldn't do that with our children, would we? No way. I've been encouraged by those in the public eye who have shared your faith on the news or on Hollywood sets, etc., like people like Chris Pratt, Tucker Carlson, Mark Wahlberg, and others have spoken about their faith and made career decisions based upon their faith that have cost them. It does cost the price to stand for Jesus. We can't say in our mind, we want to stand for Jesus, but not without the cost. That's what we want. Oh, I'll stand for you so long as there's no cost involved. There's always a cost for standing up for Jesus, and there's always a blessing for doing so that's eternal. The cost is temporal. The blessing is eternal as we stand for Jesus. Sometimes standing up for Jesus, bearing his light, will cost us in the here and now, but will only bless us in the time to come. We are seeing how fast the darkness is multiplying in this world, and it sometimes is overwhelming. But thankfully, God lives in us and is with us. Those of you that have young children that are raising them up as Christian parents, and you're investing in those kids, you and grandparents alike wonder what future will they have in this ugly world. But you standing up, being that light, living the walk, being whom God called you to be, will be the life impact on your children and your grandchildren that will enable them to be those lights representing Jesus in a world of darkness. And that's what God calls us to do, to promote that next generation. God's light shines on us and through us so we can shine this light on others and dispel the darkness. So as you step out into the sun's bright and ever-present light after our worship service ends today, and as you experience its warmth, because I know that Amber, when she steps outside, she's going to go, oh, right? Got to pick on you, girl. No, I'm sorry. All right? We're going to experience the warmth and the benefits of the sun on our life. But remember, Jesus, the sun's replacement, wants you to be his light. Sharing about his warmth, benefits, and truth with others to dispel the darkness in this world. That takes courage and surrender. Let's bring more people with us into that golden city that has no need for our natural sun. What a glorious time that's going to be when we see eternity forward and we're living with God with what plans he has. For I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not to be compared with the glory that God has in store for those who love him. Wow. Wow. Praise God for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as believers, we know that we have the very light of Jesus living in our hearts. We know that we're called to walk by the Spirit. That means to walk in your light. We know that to walk in darkness is just the opposite of doing what you want us to do. We're not walking in the light that you've set before us. As you light the path for us to follow, help us not to deviate from that, but to stand true to the light that you set before us. And help us to be that light and that people in a world that needs to know the love of Jesus, that needs to know the saving grace, the forgiveness, the mercy, and the promises of hope that are eternal that each and every person can have, but most of all, the reality of having a relationship with you. So help us to be those vessels. Help us to have courage. Give us boldness. Even the Apostle Paul asked that the churches would pray for his boldness. We are humans. We are in the flesh. We are dust of the earth. But you are our God. You are our strength. You are our power. You are our light. You are our life. And you have already empowered us to be your people. So help us not to waste that, but to live that boldly in your light. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.